The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. It does, don't it?
It does, don't it?
It do.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wynn. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter.
We're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
We are broadcasting live from downtown Reading.
And our buddy Liam in the box.
How you doing, Liam?
Good morning. I'm just hanging out.
Good, good.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good to
see
you guys.
Hey, Carl and Linda, how long are they on vacation for?
I don't actually know.
Don't know?
I think it's like another week, week and a half, maybe.
It must be nice.
Cool.
It must be nice.
It must be good.
Must be good.
It's good to be king.
Well, this is Jefferson State of Mine, M-I-N-E, Mine, broadcasting live from downtown Reading on KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We are also podcasting, and we are streaming live.
Yes, sir.
On KCNR1460.com. KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever and ever.
Amen.
You can always go back to us and hear down the road. Now, we're going to have a very interesting show today. We're going to go through what's happened with Shasta County last week. Holy moly.
Hey, before we get off to that, I just want to put out a little tidbit.
Please do.
Today, rain or shine, is the Golden Palooza here at the auditorium, the Civic Auditorium, out on the front lawn. There are going to be over 415 currently signed up dogs to come to that, and the dogs have to be Golden Retriever. So there are going to be 415 Golden Retrievers out there, including my two and my son's one. So
that's awesome.
It's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of dog bombs to navigate through. There are going to be a lot of dogs running around in various colors, from white blonde to the dark red. Ours is a dark red.
Did you say dog bombs?
Dog bombs, yeah.
Brown bombs?
I don't know what color they're going to be, but depends on what they ate. But, you get to navigate through that. So, they kindly asked that if you're going to come out there, have a Golden Retriever. If not, you can come and watch the dogs, see the dogs, and visit with the dogs as well. But, just stand back and watch and see what happens. It's going to be fun. Those two ponds that are out there in the front, is not going to want for dogs, because I have a feeling Golden Retrievers will be right in the middle of those waterways, if you will. It'll be pretty fun to see. So come check it out.
That is fun to see. And yeah. What time does that start, brother?
It starts at 11 o'clock, 11 o'clock and goes until about 1 o'clock.
Very good.
Yeah, okay. So I just want to put that out there. No, it goes till 2 o'clock. Sorry, 11 to 2. So
okay.
Come check it out.
At the Civic.
At the Civic Center, yeah.
That's right. Watch out for dog bombs.
Watch out for dog bombs.
We got it all covered then.
Yes, sir.
We get everything covered here on Jefferson State of Mind.
Yep.
Anyway, interesting week for Shasta County. As most people know, we had, a lot of people should know, but we did get an article in the New York Times that came out.
Yeah.
And we've been called out as being very right-wing and being militant and you name it. It's quite the article.
Was that written by somebody who isn't?
It's written by several people on the New York staff. There were comments from a lot of them and photographs and a lot of things like that. But, you know, we had a lot of our local folks mentioned. You know, Woody was mentioned and Patrick was mentioned, and they mentioned the state of Jefferson. Of course, they always call it secession. It really is separation. We don't want to leave the Union, and we don't want to take a star off the flag. We want to add one to it.
That's when you have to tap them on the shoulder and say, careful, your ignorance is showing.
So that was really something else. And, by the way, we did have a speaker here at the Board of Supervisors. Dr. Douglas Frank, who is a wonderful man, spoke on elections. He's an expert when it comes to when it comes to finding any type of irregularity in elections. He's an expert, a computer expert.
Hasn't he been doing it for like 40 years?
40 years, yeah.
40.
40 years. So anyway, they only gave him 3 minutes to start with as far as public comment goes in the Board of Supervisors meeting this last Tuesday. He was able to go about 15 minutes until Ms. Rickert had to put her two cents in, and we'll get to that in a moment.
She shows her conservative pride every single time.
I have never seen anybody like her. I cannot believe she's an elected official. It's hard for me to believe.
Yeah.
Anyway, so getting back to what happened is that, the good doctor was speaking and he was continually asked questions during public comment. So it turned into a bit of a presentation, which was good. Well, he's found a lot of anomalies. He's found a lot of things that are very, very much wrong with Shasta County. He's done stuff all over the nation. He worked with Mike Lindell. He's been in several court cases. He's been witnesses to that. He's an expert in what he does. And Ms. Rickert, first of all, had a few questions for him. She was upset because he had taken so long, but he was just answering questions that were being asked.
By the board. Yeah.
So, and Chairman Baugh was allowing it. So anyway, her comment basically was, you know, are you being paid for this? Aren't you a paid speaker? And he said, no, he wasn't being paid. The only thing that was paid for the doctor to come out was his plane ticket. And that's very, very, very fair because I know when Sheriff Mack wanted to come out, you're talking about in the thousands for speaking. And I know when David Harris came out, it was in the thousands in speaking.
Plus their airfare and accommodations and everything else.
And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that this was a different animal. But
right. You
see where she was trying to go with the guy. A lot of integrity. So he's semi-done. And she pops up and says, well, I've got this comment from Google about you from a Stanford professor. And he thinks that basically what you're saying is poppycock, and also what you're saying is not true, and it's a conspiracy theory, and blah, 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 so not everybody agrees with you, blah, 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 blah. At this point, we were talking about the Dominion machine, and we were talking about the way that the computers operate and how they can be usurped. You can't protect your banks. How do you expect to protect, you know, the machines from the computer analysis? So anyway, she went on to say that, and he said, well, that's true. And he said, but I did get a scholarship. I thought that was hilarious. I did get a scholarship to Stanford. That's where he went and got a scholarship for it. So anyway, she was trying to say that Stanford professors, it was one professor, and she went on to very much disrespect him and then go on to complain about the amount of time that he had been speaking. Well, that was at the pleasure of the board. That wasn't because he came in there and tried to demand the speaking time. He was allowed that speaking time because the board wanted to hear more of what he said.
They could have heard him for 3 minutes, and that's it.
And that's it. But they didn't. So, you know, I am tired of these elected officials that are opposing and are nothing more than bureaucrats and nothing more than socialists or, worse yet, people who are just in a position to only feather their own nest. Now, the other thing that happened is once the good doctor left, he was getting off a plane, and guess what? His phone was confiscated.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Just like...
By the FBI. So what does that tell you, Mary?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on the radar like everybody else.
It gets better. Okay, I have a question, and maybe somebody from RPD or some that can answer this, because I went down into the parking garage, which is behind the Board of Supervisor building, and that's where you go in there and you've got to feed the meter. So I went out to feed the meter, and Sal's car was out there, so I went out to feed her meter. And that didn't really sound very good.
Yeah.
Anyway, her parking meter.
Yeah.
So I went out there to feed that. There are... 3 RPD officers there. And there is a marshal. Now, why is that? And they're giving tickets to people who didn't feed the meter. $24 tickets. And I'm thinking, why all that manpower there? I did talk to one of the officers who was very polite. we talked about some things there, and I said, well, a couple of these meters don't work. I know I pulled into one, put a quarter in, didn't work. And, you know, I said, well, who's responsible for these meters? And he said, well, the county is, but the city of Reading has the person who works on them. Go figure. Anyway, point being is, why do we have all those, why do we have all that law enforcement out there? Isn't a simple meter maid enough to go out there and to write these tickets? Why did we have all that out there? I'm beginning to wonder about the intimidation process. So I went back into the Board of Supervisors meeting and I, let the board know and people know they ought to go down and make sure they feed their meters because they're going to get a ticket. But I mean, to have that show of that many, unless they're all just down there BSing, I don't think so though. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what the story is here.
Well, in all the times that we've used that facility, have you ever seen?
No, it? I've never seen a police officer down there ever.
I haven't either.
Ever.
I've only seen the rental facility that, you know, the paid security. I've seen them walking through there, but they don't ticket.
So if you have a question or a comment about that, it's 605-4567, 530-605-4567. Maybe somebody can give us some clarity on why that was. But I think that, and I think that, you know, on the other hand, I think that RPD is doing a good job on this homeless and crime situation of late. Seen them everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think it's good. And, you know, I'm not saying the police aren't doing a good job. I'm just wondering who gives the orders to send, you know, uniforms to go give a parking ticket, you know, to people basically who are, I mean, it isn't like you're going somewhere where it's crime infested. You're in the parking garage behind the Board of Supervisor building. So
yep.
To me, that's a little bit strange. And then, of course, Dr. Frank getting his phone taken, the article that was written in, this is all last week.
Yeah.
getting a lot of notoriety out there. But, you know, I think that really and truly, it's time for people really to start thinking about maybe some of the things that we were thinking about a few years ago. I think it's a great idea to be prepared. I think that you need to make sure that you have protection for yourself and your neighbors. I think we need to be starting community watches. I think that
if they haven't already, you're behind.
If they haven't already.
You're behind.
Now, I know that that we've been doing one in our neighborhood. And I mean, you know, you go check things out. You know, when the last time we had something happen on our street where a car was broken into, smashed into, which happened to have been mine, when we called the police dispatch, their response was, do you want to talk to an officer? Well, no, I just called to talk to you. I mean, of course I want to see an officer. Well, do you want him to come out? I go, yeah, I want him to come out. The windows are broken. There's glass all over the driveway. There might be fingerprints. I don't know. But, yeah, I want him to come out. Well, long story short, we eventually did catch the culprit. But the way we caught him is that a neighbor had gotten his license plate. We had gotten pictures of it. We sent all that to the police. After the second phone call, we finally got police officers out there. They arrested the guy. Asked me if I wanted to get my stuff back out of this guy's car, which I did. And then nothing else happened after that. We did get some subpoenas to come to court, myself and another neighbor who had witnessed a lot of this. And nothing ever really became of it. My guess is it was a plea bargain, although I have seen the guy out on the streets again, still. So, I mean,
you can't win.
You can't. So I think it's time we take matters into our legally and constitutionally protected hands.
Amen.
So, we have a caller. We have a call.
Good morning, Steve. How
morning,
you doing?
Steve. How you doing?
Yeah, good morning. Terry, I want to give you kudos for approaching that parking meter police officer or whatever it was. There wasn't a parking meter guy, it sounded like, but at least you approached him and asked him what was going on. And I hope the conversation went on to more about Constitution and all that, because a lot of these people don't know. And that was my point a couple weeks ago, is that we approach these people of authority, you know, the cops, the sheriffs, the firemen, anybody who's out there with some kind, you know, the probation officers, you know, the teachers, approach everybody if you can, if you have a chance to, and talk to them about the Constitution and what is going on in this country today. You know, this thing, the show of force down in the parking lot is kind of a police state thing that we have to stop.
Well, he was fairly polite. He did interrupt me when I asked him a question. And then I was talking to him and he interrupted. And I said, pardon me for interrupting. And he looked at me, got the message. But we did talk about it. The point is that why were they there? I never even asked that question, why there were three of them. And there was a marshal there too. But the deal is that, you're right, and it would have been nice to talk to them about the Constitution, but they were doing something. We had to get back in. And you're
well,
right. It's good always to talk to them, but again, well, the point is that at what point do people who take an oath to something, when are they accountable? They, you know, if you take an oath to something, you should read it and know it. And even though I agree with you, we should talk to them about it, but it's also their responsibility because they have a huge responsibility in law enforcement or whatever the position may be, an elected official, et cetera. If they don't know the Constitution that they take an oath to, and they aren't willing to take that time to read something they took an oath to, I agree with you. We want to explain it to them, but it should be their job and their responsibility as just adults to say, I took an oath to something, and I read it, and I understand it. It goes back to the rank and file. You have the rank and file. People saying, ah, it's not the rank and file, you can't really blame them, blah, 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 blah. Well, really and truly, those 50 agents that raided Trump's premises, and they raided it, they knew they were doing something that was unconstitutional. They knew it. Again, well, maybe we can talk to them about it, and they should, you know, we need to teach them, and they need to learn. But at what point do you take on personal responsibility? If you, as a citizen, a good citizen that you are, has taken the responsibility and has taken an oath to the Constitution because you were in the military, and you've taken that oath and you know the Constitution. You have just done what you should have done, what every one of them should do anyway.
That's right. But, you know, again, their education in the law enforcement academies is totally different from what we're taught in the Constitution. And I mean, they, you know, I went through level 3 trying to be, you know, part of the community up here, and it was really good, and it was a lot about the rights of the people and all of that, and how approaching people, and you can't do this, you can't do that. So it was a great education. But you know, in talking with sheriffs up here, when I see them stopping on the side of the road, or the police officers, and I see him on the side of the road, and I pull up next to him and say, so what's up? What are you doing? What's going on? And do you know about this or that? You know, do you know about the power of the sheriff? You know, and you know, most of them are oblivious to any of it. Or the New World Order, or what's really going on. Who's really controlling you and your education and your family? Do you know anything about this? And they really don't, you know. So we can talk about many things with these people on a human level. Get them out of their goddamn, their vest and their guns and everything else, and start talking to them on a human level.
Well, I think we do. I mean, you know, I'm sitting next to the father of a police officer. So, Wynn Carpenter's son's a police officer, very good one. And
I
think that's fine. And
it's
their responsibility to take an oath. It's their responsibility to read what they took an oath to. Not mine.
Yeah.
I agree with you. We could talk to them. We are nice to them. The police officer and I were polite to one another. It was all fine and dandy. It was all great. My only question is, why were there three of them out there when we're running rampant with crime in Reading?
That's
my point. But if he, and I didn't ask them, So, you know, we've got to let you go, Steve. We've got other things here, so.
Well, the other thing, too, the thing that you have, the article about you guys in the New York Post was huge. I think that was huge. Woody Shop was recognized. That was huge. You guys are doing a great job down there. And thank you for bringing it to all of our attentions. I hope everybody else wakes up.
Okay, thanks, Steve. So anyway, yeah, I think what we have to be looking at is, you know, where do we go as a community? And I think that the show before Poke the Hornet's Nest had a lady call in. I think it was Mary was her name, I think. Very good call.
Mm-hmm.
And she had mentioned that, you know, we keep, you know, it's the same old people that keep running. It's the same old people that are continually running for office, and we just keep voting them in. And, you know, there is, I think we're really seeing a huge turn in what we have going on here, not only in Shasta County, but in the state of California. And, yeah, there's movements. There's, you know, a lot of different movements. There's a State of Jefferson movement, which is a movement to separate. There's a New California movement, which is a movement to separate. There's a Restore California, which I don't know much about. I don't know how you restore something that's irrevocably broken, but maybe they have something there. I don't know how you restore it with the same people that have been there, because that's what we're doing. We're trying to restore it for with people that have been state senators or at least in this in our district, state senators and state assembly people forever, or their wives are, or whatever the case may be. But the point is that how do we keep doing the same thing over and over again and wanting or expecting different results? That is the definition of insanity. Now, we have, there's been a lot of things going on in Congress. Now, there's a fellow named Max Steiner, is that his name, Wynn?
Yes.
That's running as a Democrat, that is a middle-of-the-road Democrat in his opinion. And, of course, there's Doug LaMalfa. Well, now, I don't know. It's kind of like I know that there's been a lot of things that Doug's worked on as far as the Sykes Reservoir. But you know, folks, did you know that started in 1955?
Yep, totally different. I mean,
it started in 1955, and yeah. I read somewhere. I think it was a flyer I just got from Congressman LaMalfa's office that they've appropriated some money for that. Well, thank the Lord, it's been almost 100 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you serious? So, I guess my question is, when I see people running for office, and I know I've singled this guy out before, and that's Chris Kellstrom. In the 30-second ad, he talks about a problem, then he talks about the solution to the problem. Amazing. But my question is that a lot of people who are incumbents on both sides of the aisle, especially the Republicans, if we solve some problems, what are they going to run on? If we solve these problems, what are they going to run on? I mean, I'm trying to see a victory.
You mean they could run on a platform as a problem solver?
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be problems.
They could be a fixer?
You know, I know the congressman put in, co-sponsored three different bills. And when I called back to Washington, D.C. to see how they were doing, I talked to one of the staff members, and all three of them didn't even get out of committee. I mean, are we that far
gone? Sometimes.
And, yeah, you know, and we know in the state we're that far gone. You know, we already know what we have in Newsom. We already know, I guess there's a new one, maybe. I don't know if Stones is listening to this or not. But he did, he was talking about a law, and I don't know if I have it quite right. But apparently that aliens can become police officers.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm not really
sure.
Are
we talking different countries or different
Well, if they're aliens, they're from different countries. Well, and they could be different planets, too, the way things are going. But, you know, I that's my question. I mean, if, in fact, that is the law now, that can happen, and did that actually pass, and did the governor sign that, they would have absolutely no qualms about doing whatever they felt social justice should be or following, quote, orders as rank and file. Then maybe the young man I talked to about the meters, young police officer I talked to about the meters on Tuesday, who was understanding of that. I mean, you know, he was polite and helpful. You know, I never did ask him, why are you even here? I mean, you know, I just, you know, we were having a good conversation. I didn't want to, well, maybe I should have asked that question. You know, why are the three of you guys here? I mean, you know.
Is there something going down?
Why is the marshal's office out here? What are you doing out here? You need to go and do your work in court. But anyway, you know, I think the thing that we have to be looking at is we really live in different times, and we really have issues in front of us to where we, you know, whether it's Republican or Democrat electing the same people over and over with, and things keep getting worse. I mean, I did receive this flyer from Doug LaMalfa's office, and he talks about how things are worse. Well, he's right. They are worse. And that's no fault of his, or really the voters, because we don't know how Biden got in there. Biden doesn't know how he got in there. Biden doesn't even know where he is.
Cheating.
Oh, you think? So, anyway, if you have a question or you have a comment, the phone number here is 530-605-4567, 530-605-47.
605-4567.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Positive.
You sure?
Positive.
With that, we'll go off for our first break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen. Yeah, I love a rainy night.
Well, I love a rainy night. Well, I love a rainy night.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Liam, there's one on there. Got missed right in the middle. Yeah, yeah. We have a jack wagon who needs to be taken to the woodshed that keeps bothering us on our chat room and everything else. He just...
Well, he bothers Carl every day.
Did I say woodshed? I meant train station.
Yeah,
that's
train
what
station,
I meant.
Yeah. You know, I think that what we need to do is... You know, Carl, when he gets back, he and Linda get back, they probably just need to shut down the chat room.
Yep.
You know, years ago, there was a gal named Sungold who is always on the chat room and, you know, has a good disposition and, you know, talks about, you know, is positive about the community and all that good stuff. And she made a point the other day. I mean, there used to be people on the chat room where you could go on, you'd discuss stuff, and it'd be good, or they'd have questions for the guest.
Yep.
And it'd be good, but the chat room's none of that anymore. And frankly, a lot of that stopped when Carl decided to put on a left-wing program.
Yep. As soon as that started,
all of that stopped. And I don't, you know, I'm
and
not.
And then it's all this other garbage started.
Yeah, you know,
and
I mean.
And there's one guy who was just loving it because he's able to call everybody under the sun some kind of a vulgar name. Everybody. I mean, all the politicians currently serving or past servers, and then like Terry and myself, you know, we're fair targets because we are doing what we do. But he has done every single person. He's done that to guests that we've had on our show, whether they call in or here physically.
All week.
His life is to do that. That's what he lives for. So think how pathetic he has to be in order for that to happen.
Well, the thing is that Carl just needs to shut down his chat room. You can't get on his chat room anymore.
And poor Liam
and
has to.
Liam and these guys, they're spending all their time trying to get this guy off of there from using the F bomb and every other word and talking about Carl, how he is, enjoying parts of other, just bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
I mean, it's just incredible that, so the chat room is ruined and we might even do it on, many of the conservative programs on here, just shut it down. Because if you can't control it, I know that, other stations don't have this problem, and they can't seem to rectify the problem. Anyway, well, maybe that fits into the FBI's jurisdiction of cyber crimes. Anyway, we have Stones on the line. Stones, what say you, Stones?
Stones. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I put in the chat room that you're discussing the law regarding cops not being citizens, so that's in the chat, but... I want to expand a little bit on last week's board meeting. I was not there. I'm still reviewing the video. I want to throw something.
Can you get closer to your phone?
Talk to your phone, please.
We can't hear you, man. Can you get closer?
Okay. Yeah, I'm off. I'm not on speaker. And
just talk louder.
Stand still. Stand still. Don't move.
All right. So I'm watching last week's video from the board meeting. I'm still watching it, but I want to throw a brick at my computer. These folks, we have this Dr. Frank, a noted expert, and, I'm going to say this, all right? You don't call me Stones for nothing, right? So Mary Jo and Curly, Mary Jo and Les, Bob, they are now complicit in allowing the election fraud in Shasta County.
Yep.
They have had so many people, dozens of people, experts, tell them, look, you need to look into your election system at the county level. And they are narcissists, they are arrogant, they are condescending, and now they are complicit because they have had more than enough probable cause to say, you know what, you're right. Let's go ahead and dig in. Let's go ahead and look at stuff. And then, everything's going to turn out probably fine, maybe a couple errors here and there. No, they did not do that. They said, screw you, here's my middle finger, get the hell out of here, go ahead, Kathy, destroy the evidence. They are now my enemies, these people. They are my enemies because they are now complicit in the suspected election fraud. What do you say to that?
Well, I think you're spot on, but when Dr. Frank left, the FBI took his phone.
I saw that, and you know what? When Mary looked up that stupid Google thing you mentioned, and then she quoted this doctor, this professor, and if you go back and watch, Mary says, yeah, this professor talks about our democracy, yada, yada, yada. Well, Mary, holy crap, this professor can't even get that right. So what else is he screwing up? We're in a constitutional republic, Mary. Your professor you're quoting is a moron, Mary.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
I mean, you're right about all of that. And it's the thing where, we just keep voting for these people. It's the insanity of that. It's also, we talked about the parking meter gate.
Yeah.
That's insane. I mean, those guys all could have been BSing, but what are they all doing there? What's four of them doing there? Are you serious? It's a $24 ticket, And, you have a meter made for that. I've never seen that before, ever, in any city council meeting or board of supervisor meeting I've ever been at.
Well, I want to say one last thing here.
Sure.
You just said something which I think maybe you said we all keep voting for these people. And, every time I hear somebody say that, I have to insert my opinion as Stones and say, look, most of us are not voting the way the results are coming out. The results are they're stolen at all levels since roughly the mid-20 or early 2010 when these machines started coming out all throughout the country. And so when people say, why do you keep voting for these people? I hear podcasters, national podcasters, why do these California people, why did they not recall Newsom? Why do they keep voting for these liberals that are passing these laws, taking their rights? No, that's not how it's working. Our votes are being stolen. We are not voting for these people. Absolutely not. Only the crazy minority are actually voting for these people. The majority are not.
Well, I think that's a good point. I think you make a very, very good point. I was kind of talking more about, like, on the federal level and on the state level, but I think you're absolutely right. But I do know.
Remember, Terry.
No. Let me just land the plane and then
sure.
Hold on to your thought. You're not going anywhere.
Sure.
We want to keep you on.
Sure.
Okay, just
sure.
Want to land the plane. Okay, the deal is that Wynn and I have been down south. We've talked to people down there. I spent 5 days down in Redondo Beach in Southern California and on Manhattan Beach and down there. And the people down there are liberal. They are left wing. They are supporters. Where that money is and where all the illegals are, they are there. I agree with everything you're saying. I still don't think that the majority of people that vote, now I'm not saying that they're illegal voters, and you're right about the cheating. I don't think that we've really turned the corner in places like Los Angeles County, and I went to a Dodger game I was taken to, and I might have been the only conservative in the stands, including
right.
Who I was with. My
right.
Daughters, you know. So I'm saying that, you know, we live. That's why a state split is so important, no matter how you do it or how many
yeah.
you do, because there is it's a foreign country. Redondo Beach is beautiful, you know, all that stuff. It's wonderful. It's fun, but the problem is that the best example, 450 square foot house for $1 million. And it's a bargain. Okay, 450. Okay, that's like you're laughing because you can live in a trailer bigger than that. I mean,
yeah.
you could live in. I mean, I think that where I'm sitting here in the studio is bigger than that. And you know, come on. So let's get real. No, a lot of people are out there. They have got millions. They have got or they're illegal, whatever the case may be. But the point is that you're right about where we live. The thing that you really made a great point on, yeah, there's cheating going on. What you made a great point on is that many more counties now are following Shasta County's example that are further down south. I don't think we're there yet. I think we're getting there.
Yeah.
And I think people like you, when you keep us up to date on the laws, you're amazing on that. You're amazing on going out there and fighting. And we don't call you stones for nothing. And we need that. We need that. And we need to have everybody working together to bring out the best in each other when it comes to fighting for the preservation of our liberty and our Constitution.
So, if I could, thank you so much. And so, 2 points now. First point is another misnomer is people say, well, the problems, you know, these problems are at the state and federal level when it comes to elections. No. The elections are held in our country at the local level. The state and federal elections are held in the local county office, just as they are here. And as we have been trying to do here in Shasta, trying to get our local registrar's office in order, and we are being met by roadblocks and roadblocks and roadblocks. No, you don't get the documents. No, you don't get the camera footage.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't get this. No, right? Can I go down my list, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another misnomer when people say, well, yeah, that's a state and federal issue when it comes to elections. No, it's at the local elections level. That's where we fix it, just like we're trying to fix our county in many other aspects. Also, the elections, you fix them at the county level.
Absolutely.
And then, gosh darn it, I think I lost my second thought. But, you know, I got it back. I've got it back. So when... this is not a small issue that happened last week at the board when they said, go away, nothing to see here. This is not a small issue, folks. Our county, as it's currently made up, our county leadership, as it's currently made up, it is now, we are complicit in destroying our local government. Because remember, without a fair election, what else matters?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else matters. So this is not a small issue to talk about for 5 minutes. Because, you know, they told Kathy to destroy the 2020 records. This is not a five-minute conversation. This is absolutely devastating to people that want to take back their county government and especially their county elections office. This is a nuclear explosion that happened last week, and I really hope other people start to understand the gravity of what happened last week. This is not a small matter.
Well, keeping in mind, too, when we when we hold forensic audits here in the county, because that time is coming, and it'll be for every department, which will be elections department, and it'll also be the Board of Supervisors that need to be audited as well, as far as what they're saying and what they're doing. So when all those things happen and the truth comes out and is in print, there will be some jail time for these folks. There will absolutely be some jail time.
We hope so. So we're, you know, as you well know, there's a few folks in the county there. We're trying to dig into the June 2022 primary. So fortunately, we've got some time on that. But of course, the registrar's office, those frauds, they will put up every barrier in front of us they can to try to run out this 22-month clock, just like that happened with the new California folks that were just told to go away. But so we're working on that, and it's going to be interesting if we can actually get the documents and records, which are public documents, by the way.
Right.
Kathy Allen will throw up false, fake roadblocks in front of us, and it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight to get those documents. We have asked for 13 separate records acts last week. Yeah, all at once. And did you all see Kathy Allen's record search light article where he's complaining
yes.
about Records Act?
Yes.
Keeping them from doing their work. She's filed a complaint with Homeland Security, Cyber Division, blah, blah, blah. What? Are you kidding me? So now remember, she's a Democrat. So now she is trying to stick the federal government on we the people who want transparency from her office. Now,
is that going to be an abusive?
Not a five-minute conversation, right? This is a huge conversation. She's trying to stick the federal government on us, you know, because we want transparency.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is that going to be considered filing false record? With law enforcement?
No. She's not filing a report of a crime. She's filing a complaint.
Let me ask you this.
Okay
so anyway, because Stones does have a vast knowledge of the law. He's been in law enforcement.
He keeps us out of jail.
He does. He does. So here's the thing I think that we need to look at, too. I know that she violated your constitutional rights, and she violated Ronin Lund's constitutional rights. And she violated those, and I had a conversation with her. Reneged? I guess I can.
She backtracked a little.
Yeah, she backtracked. She backed off. But the point is that I really and truly, I have no idea. I have no idea of how people aren't outraged over the fact that we have such corruption, and how the Board of Supervisors, including Les Baugh, I'm beside myself. Thinking, how in the world do these people get away with this? They are breaking the law. And the sheriff, we were going to get into something on the sheriff here in a bit. But, you know, the sheriff is just, I mean, here's another guy who's non-complicit. I know that there are people that say that, that there are affidavits out there and things, and the sheriff is going to serve them and, on these people. I hope he does. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy who called in the FBI had the FBI come in during the January 18th meeting and had them getting involved in different threats, and nothing about those threats fit anything that's in the jurisdiction of the FBI. Why did he do that?
Right. Yeah. So one last point. You're right. Good question. One last point, and I'll get out of here. So I have a prediction for next year.
Okay.
You know how the state of California retaliates against Shasta County by passing laws, okay? They did that with the concealed weapons on school grounds a few years ago. They just did it just last month on the recall, ability to recall and choose a candidate. I can go down the list. So the next retaliation against Shasta County is now, in January, they will introduce a law to amend the California Public Records Act
and they're going to make it a lot more difficult for us to get public records. I'm taking bets. I'm taking a pool of bets to say that that law will be introduced in January or February. So any takers on that?
Nope.
Nope.
not in this studio.
All right, guys. I'm out of here.
All right, Stones. All right,
thank you, Rich. Thanks.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good points there. You know, and I wonder about, you know, the thing is that a lot of people were talking about how we shut down that floor at the jail. I know the previous program to us, Poke the Hornet's Nest, they've talked about the jail, and they've talked about the homeless, they've talked about rehabbing, and I agree with all of that. But again, the main thing is you have a choice. It's harder if you're homeless and you have no money, yet you can be smoking a joint or you can be getting heroin or, you know, worse shit, fentanyl. You can be getting this stuff because it's very affordable. As long as these people who have an addiction are hooked on the addiction and can be easily hooked on the addiction and kept hooked on the addiction, they aren't going to make any logical choice. So again, it really goes back to the elephant in the room, and that is we need to arrest these people on the streets that are committing felonies, selling drugs, and the drug situation. That's the problem, period. It has nothing in it. The rehabilitation, I'm in. I mean, I'm in for treatment programs. And here's something else, too. Can anybody tell me, or just, save this for the next show, if you want, to Sovereign Minds. Somebody call in and tell us a program that we have paid for as taxpayers to help homeless, and to help drug addiction, but mostly to help homeless that actually is working. We've spent millions and millions of dollars. Can somebody give me the progress of that? And why doesn't the Board of Supervisors ask for an update at least once a month on how these programs are working that we have that we're spending millions of dollars on as far as fixing the homeless problem?
Well, have they asked for any reports from any of the department heads? I haven't heard, but maybe just one or two. But how often does the sheriff come in? I think when you manage people, well, I know when you manage people because I've done it over the years, but when you manage people, you have to budget their time. You have to budget what they're going to be doing, the workload and everything else, given whatever the tasks may be. So if we're looking at a jail and we know that it's going to be on the fence and they already had empty beds in there because of restrictions, wouldn't one of the first things you would do coming into that position is to make sure that you have adequate staffing, come hell or high water, adequate staffing to run that facility because of what's going on here in our county? And just because it's going on in our county doesn't mean all these people that are committing these crimes are from our county, but it's not adequate. There's not enough bed space in there, according to what we're being told. They don't have enough staff in there, which can put the staff and the remaining staff at risk if you don't have enough staff in there. So why do we not have enough staff? My question is, when you're budgeting, when you're working on the entire budget and you're working on the payroll portion of it and the payroll portion of it allocated to the jail, why is that not a huge deal that's being dealt with or at least being told to the public, you know, we're having issues with this and we're doing our best to get the staffing done? Why wasn't that done in the very beginning?
That's a good point.
From the get-go.
That's a great point.
From the get-go.
It's a great point. The guy's been in office for a year. We had to close it down because we didn't have the staffing. Hey, when you walked into the office, that was one of the first things you should have done. We have Thomas on the line. Thomas, how are you? What say you, sir?
I'm fine. I just want to let you guys know that I stayed for the whole meeting and it was almost empty. But anyway, our newly elected supervisor, Tim, he was a part of that voting to burn the record.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Which is very surprising.
And I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know if he's been looked at or if he's, I want to call him Dr. Tim because he's getting really, he drank the Kool-Aid as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Yeah, that is disheartening, to say the least, because his constituents that elected him didn't elect him to do those kinds of things. So
they worked really hard to get him into office.
Worked really hard. I think they're concerned about him.
Yeah.
I think that he probably, if anybody's listening to this and knows Tim or can get a hold of Tim, I mean, not that we can't, but, you know, I think there's a lot of people. He may want to explain that. Maybe he had his reasons. I'm sure he had his reasons, and it'd be nice to hear his side of it. However, unbelievable that he would go that way.
Every vote, you need to be able to stand and defend.
Yeah, you need to stand and defend.
No matter how big or how little the vote is, you have to stand and defend it. And if you can't defend it, the way you did it, then something's amiss. So those things need to be dealt with, and it doesn't matter who they are on the board. They need to be able to answer to those actions that they take by voting the way they vote.
Yeah, you know, again, this thing about Johnson is really concerning because, again, when he came into office a year ago, or maybe more, I don't even know, but it's been a while. When he came into office, it was something to work, you know, he should have definitely looked at the staffing, that sort of thing. You know, where am I going to have my problems in the future? He had a year, and nothing was done. He invites the FBI in. He puts a SWAT team, you know, and has a drone and has a situation where he doesn't have any deputies at the January 18th meeting. Why did he do that? You know, when I asked him about it, I made a mistake. Well, you know, come on, man.
That's a hell of
you
a
know,
mistake.
You know, that's a hell of a mistake. There's never been a situation where there hasn't been deputies at a meeting. I mean, last, you know, there was about 10 people there a couple of meetings ago, and there were still two deputies. I mean, give me a break. You know, the SWAT team's okay. Well, what were they there for? It was 70% women and children. It was women and children. And we go back to, you know, all these right-wing extremists. It's been the mama bears. God bless the mama bears.
Amen.
We need to make a shirt. God bless the mama bears. You know, everybody's afraid to say that really women are at the forefront of this battle for each county.
Yes.
And people like Katie Gorman. I mean, you talk about a champ and, you know, Ronin and, you know, Alyssa McEwen, all these people that have fought for liberty and fought hard for liberty and have gone out there, yet they single out, you know, the two of the three men that are involved.
Yeah.
Because it's all women. So what were you afraid of, Sheriff Johnson? The SWAT team, what, that the kids that were eating the pizza? Are you afraid of them? Or were you just sort of doing that because you were hoping a riot would ensue? I'm just saying. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Dolores, what say you? We got about a minute.
Good morning, Dolores.
Good morning. I actually was one of the persons actually addressed that about Tim Garmin voting for the voting machine. I thought that was so very wrong for him to basically betray the citizens, knowing how hard everybody worked. And that's why I say we got to hold everybody to their feet to the fire, you know. So I'm just so disgusted with everything. But there's got to be there is some things coming down. And I hope you guys are prepared. And we just got to be careful what we say on the radio, because they're listening and they're paying attention and they're just waiting to see who is the most dangerous person to them.
We're all dangerous. That's the thing.
And don't forget, we have the freedom of speech to protect us. Don't forget that First Amendment.
Well, not for long.
Yeah, I know. I think good point.
That's why we have the Second Amendment.
That's the important one. Talk about the Second Amendment. Yeah. Thank you, Dolores. Talking about the Second Amendment, we do have some, 5-minute videos. There's three of them that we put out on Mountaintop Media, and they are 5-minute segments. And I just heard yesterday they're out on TikTok and Instagram, along with Rumble, along with Facebook, etc. They're around 5 minutes apiece. The first one has to do with alien police, I think, and one of them has one of them that's the last one of the three. Has to do with the Second Amendment. And when we were doing this interview with Mark Baird, his attorney called in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was excellent, talking about the Second Amendment and where we're going with that court case, Baird versus Bonta in the state of California, which is going to bring us back our gun rights, we believe. Now,
as long as the courts don't delay
yes.
the case.
And so, you know, and so what we have to, we have been doing these like 3 to 5 minute, videos, and we think they've been effective. I got word from a good friend of mine from actually, Riverside County, who managed to get them on TikTok and all that good stuff. And we did get some information from this individual, about, we will be talking to, several people about moving toward, making these videos so that we can get a 3 to 5 minute blurb out to the people. I almost feel like we're in the underground, you know, with the Gestapo.
Heroes.
FBI.
Hogan's Heroes, yeah.
Anyway, we've got about 20 seconds here, and the next program is going to be Sovereign Minds. Make sure you call in, let your voice be heard. And this is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter signing off. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Hey, CA. Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay?
It's not our bill. We had no say.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.